Second is he sets the lonely in family. If you're lonely today, God's got a family for you. Not a biological one, an eternal one. And you're invited to it. I invite you to come to God. That you're not just king, but you're dad. And you're the most perfect, loving dad that's ever existed. You are a good provider. You are kind. You lead us with caution. You are patient. You are slow to anger. Holy Spirit, I just thank you for your anointing of healing. And invite that anointing to be poured out in Jesus' name. Amen. 28 years ago, is it 28 or 27? Looking for all the melancholies in the room today. 27. We'll go with 27. 27 years ago, I was introduced to this verse at the Salvo's Discipleship School. I might have read it before, but it really started to come alive to me. And particularly the first part where it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. See, I had this picture of the devil that he kind of played nice. That he'd kick you down, and once you're on the ground, he'd go and kick someone else down. No, 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 no. If he kicks you down, he will come in until you're finished. His goal is to steal everything you have, kill everything in your life, and destroy everything. That's his agenda. That's his strategy, and that's his plan. I hadn't even thought about this before, and he's very subtle in how he does it because he manages to get us to blame each other instead of him. Now, I know we have to take responsibility for what's ours, but we also need to be wise in the spiritual warfare and understand who our enemy is so we can fight smart. And use the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, they're not human. They're not of human wisdom or human origin, but they're mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. I was only thinking the other day, you know, I'm sure, I was just thinking how the devil hates everything about God, hates God, and he wants to hurt anything that God loves. And I never thought of this before, but then I tend to think he's around the destruction of creation. Isn't that interesting? There's a lot of blame going back and forth recently about who's to blame, about, you know, climate change and environmental things and whatever. And I thought, well, you know who's really behind that? It's a thief, because he comes to steal. Comes everything that God made that's good. And everything that God made and makes is good. And the enemy wants to steal it, kill it, and destroy it. The Bible says we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against every power and principality in high place. In other words, we're not meant to fight each other, friends. Next time someone picks a fight with you, say, sorry, we're not meant to fight each other. We're meant to fight the enemy, the prince and power of the air. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The other verse I learnt, praise Jesus, I actually met a man at the school. And many of you heard me tell this story, a man called Ray Kermond. And one day, driving back past McDonald's at Belmont, he said, wanted to get in, and anyway, I won't tell a long story, but he introduced me to his testimony. And in his testimony, he was in jail and he got saved. He was on his deathbed in jail. He got saved. He met Jesus, and the verse Jesus gave him, what a great verse, the first day you get saved, hey? That I will, the next verse is on the next slide, if we can go to that. And it's become very much a life verse for me, because not only did Ray share his testimony and share that verse with me, I'd never heard the verse before in my life, he demonstrated it to me. And God restored things in my life through him. So today I want to talk about that God is a God of restoration. You know what makes me angry? That the devil steals our stuff and we don't even know about it. You know, people who like embezzle millions of dollars, how do you do that? Usually little bit by little bit over time. And you know, sometimes the enemy steals stuff from us little bit over time, and we don't even realize what's going on. And today I want to bring an awareness in this room in Jesus' name that if the enemy's stealing from you, that he gets cut off in the name of Jesus, and that the restoration process starts to come and starts to flow, because God is not a God who steals, kills, and destroys. God is a God who restores. And it's restoration time, friends. It's restoration time for you. It's restoration time for the Central Coast. It's restoration time for our nation. And it's restoration time for the nations. That's God's heart. You want to know who God is? That's God's heart. You want to follow him through? So the first point, I'm unpacking this whole passage of Joel chapter 2. God's own people, the nation of Judah, had lost their crops, their livelihood, their food supply because of an incredible locust plague. And worse still, Joel was actually warning them that they're about to lose even more things. So the prophet Joel came to make sure they woke up to the times that their prosperity was quickly being stolen from them and that God needed their attention. I don't know, what would you do if a thief broke into your house? I'd ring the police. Well, you know what? Next time you find the enemy stealing something from your life, you need to ring the police. Okay? Quickly. And the prophet Joel, and you see it here, right? Blow the trumpet. What does that mean? Hey! What do you do if a house is on fire or someone's drowning? Oh, dear, I think someone's drowning over there. Yell and you scream and you get attention, and that's what the prophet Joel was doing. He said, hey, something's wrong. Yeah, I know it's inappropriate. Sometimes I want to go up to people's lives and look them in the face and go, something's wrong. Don't you see it? Don't you see that the enemy's stealing everything that's rightfully yours? Don't you see it? You can stop that. You can stop it being how long are you going to let the enemy steal your stuff? You wouldn't let me come into your house and knock off your TV? Well, why would you let him? Why would you let the enemy steal your joy and your marriage and your kids and your ministry? Why would you let that happen? So Joel says, blow the trumpet. Hey, sound the alarm. If nothing else, I want to do that today. Say, don't let the enemy steal what God says is rightfully yours. He gets away with too much. You know what? God does this real subtly sometimes. I try to be gentle. Sometimes I'm gentle. Sometimes I just get too excited. But I remember sitting in the Swansea Hall in 1993, and it was a ministry time. A lot of you heard this story too. And if you'd asked me that morning if there was an issue that I needed prayer for, I would say, no, I'm fine. I'm okay. How are you today? I'm good. That's why I hate the word good. I'm good. No, you're not. I wasn't, and the Holy Spirit knew that. And as I sat in a circle with other students, and the guy giving ministry asked for a prayer, I knew I had to start sharing. And a bit like Catherine said, I shared about stuff I never thought I would ever share about. And it wasn't big, bad, dark stuff. It was just a wound in the heart of a little boy that God wanted to bring attention to and start to heal. That's all it was. It was quite subtle. It was quite gentle. And it started me on a healing journey that's really restored, not only given me a deeper relationship with my biological father, but it's given me a deeper relationship with my... Praise Jesus. So don't... You know, sometimes God doesn't show up the way we expect him to. Hey, Catherine. Doesn't always show up the way. Don't... You know, we just need to express our need. God's got his own agenda, and he'll come. And he'll rescue. Number two, when we suffer loss, we need to turn to God. It's a good idea, hey? Well, why do we turn to everything else then? Seriously. If it's a good idea to turn to God, why do we turn to everyone and everything else first? It's God's heart and his character to restore. Verse 13 in chapter 2 of Joel says, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious. In other words, he doesn't punish, he lets you off. He's compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. He relents from sending calamity. Hallelujah. That's God's character. That's why we turn to him, because he wants to bless us as we would want to bless our own children. And many of you have heard the story of Ray Kerman. He was an interesting guy. One of those kind of guys that got in your personal space. Caleb doesn't have much personal space, do you, Caleb? So, and the closer he got to you, the further you'd walk away, and then he'd keep coming closer. And you've heard me say it plenty of times, some of you, that God sends the best things and sometimes the strangest packages, so don't lock them out. I'm so glad I allowed God, allowed Ray Kay into my life to love me and to show me things that I hadn't experienced. Words of encouragement, words of affirmation, hugs from a man. You know, there's a lot of men in our world that need a hug from a man. Tell you what, that was awkward the first few times it happened. But it came from a pure heart and a godly heart, and so it healed my heart. When a hug comes from a godly space, it brings a godly result. Numbered my pages wrong. You're lucky I even showed up this morning. You think I'm joking? You know I'm not. Hey, how good is it to be real? I love what Nate said this morning about authenticity. Our world needs authenticity, friends. Just be authentic. And you know why people don't like you being authentic? Because it convicts them to be authentic. Hey, let's get real, friends. There's no pretense about Jesus. That's why people felt safe around him. That's why people were attracted to him. There's no pretense. What you saw with Jesus was what you get. And you know what the world needs to see? Is that same authenticity in Jesus' people. No secrets, no, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, let everything hang out. I'm just talking about being real. Just talking about being authentic. That's how you be a safe person. Anyway, I'll go back a page now. So, you know, I guess little kids want to do what their dad does. And so remember, you know, I could have found something somewhere else to do this with, but I took the clock off their bedroom dressing table and thought I'd pull it apart. And I was pretty gifted at pulling it apart. I managed to get it in lots of pieces. It's just when I started to try and put it back together was a problem. And I couldn't do it. And I needed to confess to my father that I couldn't put it back together. And sometimes, you know, not everything that, well, I actually think a lot of things in our life that happen to us are not our fault. I want to say that. But whether it's our fault through bad choices, whether it's not our fault through the choice of other people, what I found is we can't put ourselves back together. We have to say, Father, I can't put this back together. Only you can put this back together. And that's what, when we suffer loss, we need to turn to God, because no one else can put us back together, friends. No one else can put us back together. You can turn to this person. I've done it. You ask some of my friends, 1997, when I was in training college, on Friday night after pubs, I was a single guy, the only single guy in college. Everyone called me lucky. I didn't feel lucky. I felt scared and lonely. And Friday night after pubs, I was sitting in my room by myself with nothing to do. I start ringing people. You know, I still remember the night that I couldn't get onto anyone on the phone to meet my needs for loneliness, to have a conversation. So I picked up my guitar and just started strumming the probably two or three worship choruses I knew. And the peace of God fell, and I went to sleep and had one of the best night's sleeps I'd had for ages. I couldn't find people, but I found God. And I'm sure God, you know, a lot of things would get fixed a lot quicker and a lot easier if we just went to God before we went to people. Or we just went to God before we went to things. When we suffer loss, we need to turn to God. When we suffer loss, God can and wants to restore it all. I will repay to you the years the locusts have eaten away. You know what I've found since I discovered that verse is this theme is woven all through Scripture. Some of my favorite passages, Ezekiel 37, Valley of Dusty Bones. The Lord says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel was a pretty wise guy, really. He said, oh, Lord, only you know. Only you know. Now, I look at Australia sometimes, especially in recent weeks, go, God, can these bones live? You know, I think he says yes. He's a God that makes beauty out of ashes. Think of what I've loved about the last 27 years of ministry that I've experienced is watching God restore people's lives over and over and over. Hey, it's been a privilege to be a part of so many people's lives here for the last 8 years and watch God restore relationship, finances, employment. People, when I first met them, couldn't afford a car, and then someone gave them a car, and then they can afford a car. And I mean, that's the kind of God we serve is, you know, and I can think of at least two or three examples in this room where God just restores. He just restores. People think I'm going to start following Jesus, and suddenly, you know, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added unto you. You know, the great part about being in ministry and being part of the church, you get to watch that over and over. In the 27 years of experience of the school, I've watched God do it over and over and over. You know, God never gets tired of restoring the things that locusts have eaten away. Actually, I think we just need to get better at receiving. We just got to get better at not running and not hiding and allow God to find us and restore to us the things he wants to restore. And this is a part I didn't discover straight away. But it's very exciting. Number four, that God restores. Yeah, God owns everything. The good and bad news is you don't own anything. God owns it all. And it can come and it can go, but when we trust him, he'll lend some cool stuff to us. He'll lend some very cool relationships to us. Everything's online, friends. Everything's online. But he's in charge of it all, and he owns it all, and he can give as much as he likes to you. And what I found is, many of you heard me tell this story. I left home at 18, moved to a core at North Brisbane, left my family and inherited six families who loved me and showed me Jesus and let me swim in their pools and fed me food and let me hang out with their kids and sleep on their floors. And my goodness, it was rich, friends. It was rich. It was abundance. It was the abundant life. At Westlakes, got there and there was probably $30,000 in the red every year. We worshipped in a school hall, which was cool, except when they had state elections, you couldn't get in early and you always had to clean it up because we always made sure we left it cleaner than we found it. And we didn't have an office, and we were blessed by Employment Plus to lend us an office in their building, but you know, we just had to manage that well because it was on loan, it was free, it was great. But when our vision started to expand into the Bolton Point area, and God had given a vision to reach what at that time was had been identified by the New South Wales government as one of the most disadvantaged areas in New South Wales. And so God had an idea to put a whole church in their neighbourhood, not just a couple of Christians, but a whole church. We moved into town, and Lord gave me Deuteronomy chapter 28. And one of the verses in there, verse 13, was the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, not just, you know, maybe follow them or follow them one day and not the other, you will always try, you know, like just extend your, always be on the top and never on the bottom. What? What? You know, some of the things that happened through that experience was, I don't think in the end we only had like $120,000 debt after we built and renovated the building. And then the Army, Salvation Army, declared a year of jubilee. You know what that means? It means that they matched dollar for dollar every cent that you raise. And we had our debt paid off with probably 12 months. money just, it felt like money fell out of the sky. It didn't. It came from very generous people motivated by the Holy Spirit. But we paid off a very large debt in a very short time. And some other crazy stuff happened. Like we wanted a job training cafe, and it wasn't even our vision, but we bought into it and it was awesome. And so not only did we have a job training cafe on site where we wanted people to come on, you know, like people, we want people to come here just to connect and do relationship. We wanted the same deal, but not only they got funding to run that cafe, not only did they come and run a cafe and provide food and coffee and crowds, they paid us rent. What? Hey? Yeah, you can ask them. This morning I want you to expand your heart to realize that God may have a lot more for you than what you're asking for. Okay? This is what I've got. We're just going to get on with it because, you know, let's do that. This morning I brought some blank checks with me. They're not from my bank account because my bank account wouldn't get you very far. But on here it says, Almighty God, on this check. And this is what I want you to do, right? I'm going to sit these out the front. And as an act of faith, I want you to ask for God to restore the things you know the enemy has stolen from you. It's payday, friends. It's payday to steal what he's stealing from us. Things like respect. Things like, you know, our own sense of self-worth. We're singing this morning, I am a child of God. Can you sing that from the bottom of your soul? If not, it's time for that to be restored, that you're a son and daughter of the King, and you need to know that. David said, you know, I've been fearfully and wonderfully made. My soul knows that very well. What a great phrase. My soul knows very well. Come, friend, that's the anchor you want. Your bank account or your friends or anything else won't sustain you, but that will. So someone might need to help me with this. Because you know what I'm like at task. That's all right. You want to put those on there? I'll keep one. Thank you. Want some pens? You might want to bring your pen because we're all out of pens today. Thank you. I invite the band to come up. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that God shows you maybe some things you already know that the enemy's been stealing from you and you want it to stop. Maybe you're not even aware of what's been stolen from you, and today's the day the Holy Spirit wants to reveal that to you and start the restoration process. But we're just going to give some time, and this is what I want to happen in this room. This is a time that we give utmost respect to the Holy Spirit because he doesn't have to be here. The Holy Spirit doesn't have to be here. And he's the one that provides the power to break the chains. He's the one that brings the revelation, the conviction, and the freedom. And so we create a space for him that's deeply respectful. And it means that if you're not interested in opening yourself to God today, please just respect those who do want to open themselves to the Holy Spirit today. We do not want to grieve him because he is a gentleman, very gentle. And he's very attracted to peace. He's not so excited about turmoil. So let's sit peacefully. Let's engage in the worship. And let's allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. He can speak to all of our hearts and all of our minds if we're just still and quiet. Lord Jesus, I just pray today that you would show us. Firstly, I want to thank you for what you have restored to me over the years by your hand. Sometimes just by your Spirit, other times through your people. But Lord, we also want to position ourselves to make sure nothing else is being stolen from us today. We want to become aware of anything that maybe the enemy may be trying to steal or kill or destroy in our lives. Give us that awareness in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit. And we want to position ourselves to allow you to restore. And Lord, as Catherine said, we're not going to set the agenda for that. We're just going to ask that you restore what's been stolen. And you can do it however you like, through whomever you like, however you like. Lord, help us to come to that place of surrender today, so that we can receive what you have for us. Amen. I invite you to come as the band plays. You can engage in worship. You can come and kneel and pray. But I encourage you to write that check out to yourself in front of God this morning. And say, Lord, I'm asking that you would restore this. Be specific. Be specific, because in a week, a month, 6 months, a year's time, I encourage you to keep this somewhere in your Bible or your journal and look back at it and see how God has restored to you that which has been stolen. All that's in-